The Hidden Life of Chocolate, a Mosaic Mind podcast by Krishnan Iyer. I thought I knew chocolate. Sweet, brown, comforting. But one weekend at the Northwest Chocolate Festival in Bellevue changed all of that, because what I learned there is that chocolate isn't just dessert. It's alive. It's fermented. It's global. And it's one of the best examples of how nature teaches us cooperation. Chocolate is alive. Here's something I didn't know until that day. Cacao, the seed that becomes chocolate, actually ferments before it's ever roasted. Farmers harvest the pods, open them up, and scoop out the beans covered in this sweet white pulp. They place them in wooden boxes, and that's when wild microbes, yeasts, and bacteria begin to feast. It's like what happens with sourdough, kimchi, or kombucha. But no one's controlling it. It's not lab science. It's wild fermentation. Nature's Jazz Session. Lauren Adler, the chief chocophile of the Chocolate Explorers Club, put it beautifully. She said, "Chocolate is wild fermentation. Unlike wine, we don't inoculate it. We let nature decide." That line stayed with me, because in that one sentence, she captured something profound. That the best flavors in life come from partnership, not control. Fermentation, in a sense, is cooperation between species. Humans and microbes working together to make food we can digest better and enjoy more deeply. The geography of flavor. Chocolate grows only between 20 degrees north and south of the equator, this narrow green belt that circles the planet. In that belt lie some of the world's richest stories. Ecuador's Andean slopes, Guatemala's Poloche Valley, the Dominican Republic's Oco Caribe region, and even southern India's Anaimalai Hills near Palachai, and the banks of the Godavari River. Each region's beans taste different because they are different, shaped by soil, weather, and fermentation styles. I tasted bars from all over, and each one felt like a geography lesson for my tongue. Finca Manantiales, Ecuador, bold, tannic, almost wine-like, Ara Chocolat, Venezuela via Paris. Deep, earthy, made by a Venezuelan family keeping their homeland alive through chocolate. Fresco, Guatemala, soft and silky, light roast, long conche. Oco and cacao, Dominican Republic, fruity, nutty, balanced. Madagascar Cacao Project, bright, citrusy, alive. Each bar had its own story, its own terroir, proof that chocolate is geography made edible. Reading the truth on the label. Lauren also walked us through how to read a chocolate label, and it felt like learning to read truth. She said, when you pick up a bar, look for simplicity. A good one usually has only two or three ingredients: cacao, cocoa butter, and maybe a little sugar. If you see natural flavor, vegetable oil, or Dutch processed cocoa, that's like hearing auto-tune in a live song. Something's been over-edited. And that's when she said something I'll never forget. Sugar can hide defects. That's why 100% bars are the truest expression of the bean. That struck me because truth in food or in life rarely needs sweetening. Innovation from tradition. Now, here's where things get even more fascinating. In India, the same stone grinders that families use to make dosa batter are now being repurposed to make chocolate. And some small batch chocolate makers in New Jersey are actually selling these converted machines. I love that because it's the perfect example of tradition fueling innovation and everyday kitchen tool becoming a bridge between continents. Between South Indian homes and craft chocolate studios halfway across the world, it reminded me how creativity often emerges when cultures listen to each other. When chocolate meets tea, as someone who's deeply into tea, from pour to foubrick, this discovery felt oddly familiar. Both tea and chocolate are fermented. Both require patience. Both depend on living cultures that transform bitterness into complexity. At the festival, I found a cocoa tea made from Dominican cacao shells. And when I brewed it, it felt like two worlds meeting, the leaf and the bean, both shaped by time, microbes, and human care. Patience and cooperation, that's the real recipe behind every good cup and every good bar, and maybe behind every good relationship, too. What chocolate taught me. I left that festival with a small paper bag of 100% cacao bars and a very different perspective. Chocolate was no longer comfort food. It was a quiet teacher. It taught me about geography, how the earth shapes flavor, about cooperation between humans and microbes, about humility, the kind that comes from letting go of control, and about curiosity, the kind that makes you read what's really behind the label. When we start noticing where things come from, we taste life differently. We start living more consciously. The final thought. So, next time you unwrap a bar of chocolate, don't just eat it. Hold it for a second. Smell it. Read the label. Because behind that simple square of chocolate lies an entire ecosystem. Farmers, fermenters, forests, and tiny invisible microbes all working together in perfect rhythm. You're not just tasting chocolate, you're tasting cooperation. I'm Krishnan Iyer, and this is the Mosaic Mind Podcast. If this episode made you see chocolate or life a little differently, share it with someone who might need that reminder that even the smallest acts of cooperation can create something beautiful. Until next time, Stay curious. Stay connected. And keep finding the hidden patterns that make this world so human.